This week's episode of the Run, Eat, Drink podcast is brought to you by listeners like you. Head on over to patreon.com/runeatdrinkpodcast and subscribe today. Fans, founders, and insiders like you help us keep the Run, Eat, Drink podcast going, and we thank you for your support.
Hello, this is Marco Cesero, and welcome to Run, Eat, Drink podcast.
Welcome to the Run, Eat, Drink podcast. We feature destination races from across the country. And after the race, we take you on a tour of the best local food and beverage to celebrate. So whether you are an elite runner or a back of the packer like us, you'll know the best places to accomplish, explore, and indulge on your next runcation.
Hey, welcome to episode 138. Of the Run, Eat, Drink podcast. I'm your host, Amy.
And I'm your co-host, Dana. And the episode title is Oops, We Did It Again, Live.
And I think children of the 90s, the 1990s,
yes,
will appreciate that.
They will.
So.
It's a nod to the fact that we did we Bill O'Reilly our way through a previous episode because we did a live race.
All right.
And we got to do another one.
So exciting.
This week, we're going to be featuring some running, eating, and drinking from here in Southwest Florida. We were able to get all three in without doing any out-of-town travel.
Yes. And we appreciate and are so grateful for you coming along and experiencing our hometown in a race and some awesome food and terrific beverages.
Yeah, you know, and the one thing I'll say for the pandemic,
right.
It's given us an opportunity to do a little more exploring, of course, close to home, but it's right. Also given us a chance to invite people in. In a more personal note, we've been doing a lot of Facebook and Instagram Live.
We have.
We've been doing it from our couch in the living room.
We have, with our dogs.
And yeah, oh, and the dogs. Yay. And the cats. And, you know, that's been a lot of fun to be able to do that. And then we've started doing it a little bit along these race courses as well.
I just love interacting with our friends in the Runcation Nation, our audience, the people who tune in week after week, some are patrons of the show. They make it so much fun.
And, you know, we try to do that to give everybody an opportunity to tune out the world for an hour. You know, it's with everything going on from the pandemic to social upheaval and all that, we want to be a little bit of an oasis or a place where you can just tune it out for a bit and have a reprieve.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you all do that same thing for us.
That's exactly what I was about to say. And it turns out it's our reprieve.
Yeah.
Getting to do that with you guys.
Yeah. Because I think this year has been stressful in a lot of ways for everyone. And if we can bring a little bit of normalcy and we can have a little bit of human connection virtually.
Yeah.
And share a little bit of our hometown, share in live races from some of our members of the Runcation Nation. Mm-hmm. It's helping us stay out of that monkey brain like Jeff Galloway likes to talk about and be present and appreciate people, like you say, runners on the course, in our lives, people we have never met can be some of the greatest friends we have made this year.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's just, it's weird to say that, you know, you wouldn't think that that's going to be the way that the things turn out, but it absolutely is. And
yeah.
We're just really grateful for it. And we're really excited to show you guys a little bit of our hometown.
Yeah.
Because it's not every week that we do it. And mm-mm. It's great to have kind of a confluence of a fun race that was held here locally and then be able to show off a restaurant that we've been meaning to get to
forever
and go back to a spot that we have featured in the past on the show.
That we love.
That we love. And these guys are an amazing resource for us when it comes to craft beer.
It has been an oasis to us.
Yeah. So this week we're going to be talking about the 2020 LCEC. That stands for the Lee County Electric Co-op. That's our local electric company here. Mm-hmm. Goblin Gallop 5K. We got to have a spooktacular time.
I see what you did.
Running a Halloween themed 5K.
Fun.
And then we headed to downtown Cape Coral for food.
The Fishtail Grill is along a street called 47th Terrace. Mm-hmm. And it has just come to life lately. And this is a staple on 47th Terrace, the Fishtail Grill.
Yeah, they are attached to one of the best fresh fish markets in Southwest Florida, Merrick's Seafood.
Oh.
And that was a place that it is a place that we go to buy fresh seafood when we're having seafood at home. And they decided to expand and add on Fishtail Grills.
Lucky.
So they are cooking the same fresh ingredients that they're selling on the store side.
Yes. And then finally, we revisit a place where we actually celebrated, I believe, our very first podcast anniversary.
I believe so. And I know that one of our very first Facebook Lives was done from there as well.
Oh, so way back. A lot of connections, and there are just some great folks there in terms of people on the staff and that are owners. And they put together a fantastic set of brews. We're going to share a couple with you.
And this is our favorite spot, one of our favorite spots, number 3 craft brews here in Cape Coral.
Yeah. So
let's talk running.
We should talk running. Yes, let's get started. The Goblin Gallop 5K, another live race.
Yes.
Ha!
This was a 5K race that benefits the United Way that was held here in Cape Coral. And how best to describe this? The race started early in the morning, and it begins and ends in a park.
Yes, JC Park, if anybody's local.
And so it's a combination of a park run and a neighborhood run. It's a bit of an out and back course with a couple of loops through nearby neighborhoods.
Nice and safe.
Very safe. Great. Very, very low traffic area to have a race in.
Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about, like, sign up process was pretty easy.
Yeah, you could sign up through active.com, through a printable application online. We signed up at the Run Shop, and that is Rachel Lee's Run Shop, where we have been fitted for our running shoes that have gotten us through the last decade plus.
Yeah, Rachel, not a sponsor of the show, the Run Shop, not a sponsor, but they are friends of the show, and just, she's an amazing resource for us. She's an inspiring runner herself.
Oh, she is.
Or athlete. She's not just a runner, she's a triathlete.
Yes.
And she is just so positive and so incredible.
Tomorrow, she's heading to Panama City for a full Ironman.
Wow.
Yeah, so we wish her the best of luck.
Absolutely.
Although, she trains.
Yeah, she's a machine. Yeah, she is absolutely a machine.
She doesn't need it, but we're happy that she's going to have it, and hopefully that race goes off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, The pickup process.
I was going to say, you picked up our race packets the day before or two days before?
The day before, actually. Mm-hmm. The day before, it was a Friday, and I came in and they had their swag bags ready to go. They had white cotton t-shirts with the race logo on them, and just enormous bottles of hand sanitizer, some masks in the whole swag bag.
Right.
And you could pick up your race numbers and pins, and you could actually register there if you needed to.
That was nice.
Mm-hmm. I reached out to them because I just let the deadline get away from me.
It happens with work and everything else.
Yeah. So they were like, yeah, you can still sign up and just come on. So the people at LCEC, yeah, great. great folks.
Yeah, and we were a little surprised. We looked at the event, and it initially said online that there was not going to be any race day registration. But when we actually got to the park that morning, turned out they had race day registration.
And I think that they just wanted to be safe given the current circumstances.
Yeah, makes sense.
You know, and just and cut down as much as possible on any kind of situation that would prevent social distancing or anything, any guidelines that the county or the city, anything like that, would have in place.
Right.
So I think they were playing it safe. And that's okay.
Makes perfect sense. They hosted this at JC Park. They had everything set up that morning for on-site registration and check-in. And I mean, just a great area to do everything in. The park itself is a coastal park with basically large fields, some permanent structures where you have a gazebo, some covered areas for picnic tables. You also have a kids play area and a fitness trail, but it's a single point of ingress and egress right on the water, no beach, but right on the water. And you basically, we started in the park and ran out the park and then, and we'll talk about the course in a second, but I love this location for races.
I do too.
For short races, like 5Ks.
Yeah, I think it's the perfect kind of place for a 5K because you can start in the park, you can do a couple of loops within the neighborhoods nice and safe, and there's a place, a perfect place kind of halfway through for a water stop.
Yep.
And then you can finish right there in the park by the water and just beautiful.
Yeah, and ample places to sit. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic location.
Plenty of parking.
But what was even better than the location? Even better.
Do it.
Was the fact that Florida decided to participate in fall.
Yes.
This past Saturday.
It was great. Happy Halloween, Floridians. Have a live race with low humidity
and cooler temperatures.
Yay. Now, I mean, we're not talking about, you know, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, North Carolina temperatures.
It's all relative. It wasn't in the 90s.
We were given a reprieve from humidity.
We
will take it. Take it.
Absolutely.
There you go.
We were having an absolute blast. It was nice and breezy, low humidity, cooler temperatures. I don't think it even got out of the 70s for us on the race course.
I think it was approaching that, but not quite.
Yeah. And race started at 7:30 in the morning, like we said, at JC Park. You know, he's starting in the park. They had an inflatable start and finish line.
Yeah, that was great.
Which was the same point.
Yeah.
And plenty of room for people to space out and stay properly socially distanced. There was no requirement to wear masks, you know, face masks, but there were plenty of masks to be seen.
Well, what I liked is, you know, it was on Halloween and people decided to have some fun with that.
Yes.
We saw bat men and women.
We did.
We saw Toy Story characters.
I do recall saying to a little Woody, reach for the sky.
It was so great.
And it was just adorable to see adults dressed up as pumpkins and other stuff. And then we even decided to participate and get out some of our favorite costumes.
Yes, there was an older lady that just had purple ribbons in her hair and like a purple sparkly running skirt, and she even waved in over on our live, and she just great, very motivational. And we came in costume as well, like you said, and we decided to be two of our favorite characters to kind of, I think, to harken back to some pretty great traveling race memories.
Yes.
And just to be in the spirit, I unpacked my Black Widow costume that you got for me the first time we ever went and ran the Avengers races in California, and did it. It has lights. It's the
Avengers Age of Ultron costume that she had with the blue piping.
The blue piping, which lit up at the first race. And then for the second race, you rewired it for me.
I did. Well, that luminescent piping is very fragile. And if you bend it or you break a wire, it's done.
The traveling wasn't that friendly to it.
Didn't travel well. No.
Yeah. So you rewired it for me for that second race. And that was 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And we got it out and it still was working. That piping was still working. I just needed to change the batteries and we were good to go.
Yeah. And my costume was my Captain America because it's a very race appropriate, race friendly costume. It's a cell shaded Captain America top. And then I have basically like a half mask that looks like Captain America's mask. And then I have a tiny, basically Frisbee sized run friendly Captain America shield. Not like the one that you guys have seen if you've watched any of our Facebook or Instagram lives.
I mean, you could have run with that.
I could have run with that, but at some point you got to put it down. Plus, I knew we were going to be doing Facebook Live, Instagram Live, and I was going to have the camera.
Yeah, so I think it was the right decision.
Good call.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I had a lot of fun running in costume. And then, like I said, we ended up doing an Instagram Live, and it was just fantastic to have some people join us from several people stayed with us for most, if not the entire race.
Having coffee and following along.
Yeah, we had, our friends of the show, Wendell.
Yes.
And Marco Chisetto, who introduced the show.
Oh, today on the episode. Yes, he introduced our episode and he jumped in and let us know what he was going to be for Halloween, courtesy of his children and what they wanted him to dress up as for Halloween.
And then Meg also.
Meg, one of our patrons.
And she is going to be, or has contributed something for the show that we're going to be releasing later in the week.
Yes.
Keep an ear out for a quick bite, and it's going to be content from Meg.
And it's great because we're recapping one of our live races, and she was nice enough to put together a recap of hers.
So you're going to learn about another potential race to keep an eye out for
next year. Absolutely.
So, that was just a ton of fun getting to connect with people and do that. And
they were all so positive. Yeah, like the people who are just the more serious runners doing the course twice because they're way faster. Let's just be real.
Yeah.
And they were cheering us along. They're, oh, you just have a half a mile to go. You're almost there. And they were just such nice people.
They really were.
Such nice people. The people we were running with, the people who were behind us, we got to cheer on and they were happy. Mm-hmm. They, at the water stop, they passed out whole bottles of water.
Yep.
And that was just awesome. And at the end of the race, Rachel herself delivered us medals.
Yeah.
So awesome.
Yeah. And the medals were very festive.
Yeah. The ribbons were decked out with all sorts of memorabilia. Like there were shapes on there and colors all representing Halloween with pumpkins and, ghosts and all the different things on a black background. And then it was like a bronzish color pumpkin.
Yeah. Like not an aged bronze, but almost like a brushed, like bronze nickel kind of neat looking metal. Mm-hmm. It was a little smaller than some of the others that we featured, but it was
a silver dollar type.
Yeah, maybe a silver dollar size.
It's an
metal.
Episode artwork.
It's a great little metal though, and not as hefty or as big as some of the others that we've done, but a perfect finisher medal for a local 5K.
Yeah, and on the back of it actually said what the race was and the time of day to all that. So it was great. And they posted the results. They didn't have an awards ceremony. I was not as fast as I was 2 weeks ago.
We were focused more on doing the live.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was okay. Plus, you've been having some knee issues this week.
Yeah. So I slowed it down. I finished maybe a minute. It took me a minute longer than the last one.
That's not too bad.
So it's not too bad, and I was in it for the enjoyment anyway.
Exactly.
So they posted results, but they didn't have an award ceremony proper.
Yeah, which they normally
do.
Or a lot of the races that Rachel times and a lot of these events do a little ceremony afterward. This one didn't have it, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Again, you got your medal, and you get to kind of keep your distance, and totally understand.
Yeah, play it safe. So it was just nice to participate in a local race, support the United Way.
Yes.
And have a medal and have that camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to connect to our audience live as well.
100%.
Yeah, because it was not, there was no sense of urgency to make it to the finish line or timing requirement, no removals from the course. It was just plain old fun.
Yep.
And a way to connect in person and through our Instagram. And it was great.
And we were glad to be able to share that with you. It is still up on our Instagram account under our IGTV.
Yeah, if you find our account and you go to our profile, you can get to all of our IGTV videos.
And you can take a look at the neighborhood. This is an older section of town than the previous race that we did, so some of the homes are a little bit older. This is close to the water, but not what you'd call beachfront. That area of town is right on a river.
Right.
And this is more geared towards boating than it is beach.
Yeah.
So, but neat part of town, great area to run in, and just a ton of fun. And even if you're doing a race like this, that's just for fun, the simple fact of the matter is when you're done running, it is time to grab a bite to eat somewhere.
Yeah. And I just had such a hankering for seafood. It's like my internal clock said, hey.
You need some iodine.
It's stone crab season.
We've actually been on a bit of a hunt here locally. Stone crab season, starts in October.
Mm-hmm.
And, we've been waiting to start seeing it pop up on the menu. And if you've never had stone crab, this is the crab claw that's like a tannish yellow in color with maybe some peach colored or pinkish accents. And the pincer itself tends to have like black accents on it.
Mm.
The crab is actually caught. They take the claw and then they throw the crab back and it grows a new claw.
Yeah.
So it's a very renewable resource, and it is for us a local delicacy because this time of year you are getting some of the freshest seafood that you can ask for. So we a couple of weeks ago when we were out and about, we checked over at Merrick's and over at Fishtail. They didn't have any in yet.
Yeah.
They said that they're starting to get a little bit, but not enough for them to have it on the menu.
Right.
Well, we had decided, we're going to get Fishtail Grill, and we were, fingers crossed, on the way there that we were going to be able to get some.
Mm.
And not only did we get some, we hit the mother load.
I think this was great because it was called the Captain's Platter, which is not really, it's not on their regular menu. If you go to their website, it's not on their regular menu. You'll see their seafood tower.
Yeah, they have their seafood tower, which is all market priced, is what they'll tell you.
Yeah.
Has a variety of hot and cold seafood prepared fresh and brought out. This is like that, where you have like the tower, except this was just a platter, a single layer platter.
And rather large. Took up almost a whole table.
It did. It was huge. And we're going to tell you guys what all was on this thing. Total price was about $76.
For two.
And we didn't leave hungry.
Mm-mm.
So
no.
Let's break this down a little bit. Let's start with, some of the stuff. This is a sampling of things that are on their menu normally.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorites was one of the hot items in this platter, and that's their spicy lobster spring roll.
Oh, you had me at lobster. Yeah, the fresh lobster meat in a wonton wrapper, fried with spicy sauce, and it had some other unexpected things.
Yeah, the stuffing was a combination of the lobster meat diced up, as well as seaweed and noodles. Mm-hmm. And the spicy sauce you're talking about is like a spicy mayonnaise.
Yes.
That was drizzled over. And this thing was just killer. This is a regular on the menu, but...
As an appetizer.
Yep. It is absolutely something that is worth making a trip just for that alone. Like, there are times we could just do, hey, here's one item from the menu and go, this is a must go get. This is a must get.
It's delicious. We had some clams as well.
Those were steamed with garlic, wine, and butter. Fantastic. I mean, you really couldn't go wrong with, you know, steamed clams, of mm-hmm. course.
Nice and simple.
Yeah.
Briny taste of the sea.
You're talking, oh, I don't know. I'm looking at these photos here. The hot item.
Yes, the bacon-wrapped scallop.
Absolutely perfectly cooked. This scallop was enormous.
So, and it was wrapped in the bacon, honey butter, and it was served over baby arugula with shaved Parmesan.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Just enough honey butter on it to give it a little extra sweetness, because why not? But these scallops themselves didn't really need it, but it just gave it a little extra oomph.
Natural sweetness.
Yeah. And these scallops, like I said, they were huge. They were probably the size of a half dollar.
Yeah.
And maybe a half inch thick.
Yeah, they were pretty thick, and they were not chewy. They were perfect.
Yes. 100%. Yeah. If you get a chewy scallop, it's been way overcooked.
And it was. It was just perfect.
Yeah. This was one of my favorite items. Because, again, I like a lot of the hot items that you get. But mm-hmm. really, the star of the show was some of the other shellfish. We, of course, had some amazing Gulf shrimp that were
huge.
Huge. These were probably, I want to say these were probably U10 or 12 shrimp. Per pound.
And these were enormous. They were big. They had the tails on, but you didn't have to work. It was not a peel and eat situation. And the cocktail sauce that came with the platter for these, I just love that bite of horseradish.
Yeah.
Oh, that tang.
They're making a really tangy, clear out your sinuses cocktail sauce to go with it. But these shrimp, just a little pinch of the tail and the shrimp pulled right out.
So great.
Really big portions for each shrimp. Mm-hmm. And again, if you're getting a chewy shrimp or one that can't pull out of the tail, one of the biggest frustrations I have.
Overcooked
shrimp.
Seafood.
Seafood, period. Mm-hmm. But if you go someplace and they are making peel and eats and you can't peel the shell off the shrimp,
send them back. Problem.
This is perfect. Not the way that it should be. And I'm sorry, these weren't Gulf shrimp. These were Key West pinks.
Were they?
Yeah. So
I don't know. I just say they were delicious.
Yeah, they were
just
enormous.
Big shrimp.
Fantastic.
Delicious.
Let's see. What else do we have? Of course, when you get right down to it, you have a combination of cooked king crab.
Yes.
And snow crab.
Yeah.
So we had a couple of snow crab clusters and I believe two legs of king crab,
mm-hmm.
not the entire like monster leg, but one leg segment.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of that?
Well, I think king crab and snow crab, even though they're both crab, snow crab is sweeter, has more of a sweetness, even before you do lemon butter with it. And we had lemon wedges on the side and we had drawn butter, melted butter.
Yes.
But snow crab just has a natural sweetness. And, you know, when you do the work, when you crack into those legs and you get the meat out, it is like, you know, when you pull it apart, there are skinny strands of meat
mm-hmm.
that are sweet. But just tender and delicious and not overcooked. And these people know how to do seafood right is what we're saying.
They do.
We say that over and over again with each dish that was on this or each
item
that was on this platter, this enormous platter. But and then the king crab, it's still briny. It is still, you still have to do some work and it's a harder shell, actually. It's I feel like it's a different texture shell when you have to work and crack to get that. But it's just, the meat is so hearty when it comes to king crab.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's just a little slightly less sweet and more briny.
Yeah, I think it's a different kind of work. Like I said, the shell's a little harder to get into, but once you get in there, you get a heartier piece of meat that's not quite as sweet, like you said, as the snow crab. I like with snow crab clusters getting not only the leg meat that's in there, but if you get the whole cluster where the cluster is joined up towards the body of the crab, that's where you can get some of the lump meat.
Yes.
And you can get in there with a fork and you can get the lump meat out. Yeah. And it's just, it's a fantastic briny taste of the sea that's just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
They also had on this platter a lobster tail.
Yum.
Which again, perfectly cooked. You know, if your lobster doesn't come out of the shell easily, if it's chewy, if it's really curled up and kind of sad looking, like it's just a big shrimp, then it's been overcooked. This was not the case.
No.
You know, and we each had, half of the lobster tail.
Yeah.
But then we decided to go nuts because they, as a matter of fact, did have snow crab on the menu.
Stone crab.
And they had, not only did they have stone crab on the menu, they had all sizes of stone crab. So we opted to get some extra large claws.
I mean, if you're going all in, go all in.
And I want to say that our total order for the cracked claws was 4 claws that we got in our order.
They were sizable.
And that 4 claws, I want to say, was $53.
Okay.
For those 4 claws.
Okay.
That is a market price here in Southwest Florida. That's probably crab that was pulled out of the water that morning.
Yeah.
And served that day.
And just, I mean, the chunks of meat.
Okay, you're going to have to tell people because snow crab's one thing, king crab's another, stone crab is a totally different animal.
Well, yes.
And talk a little bit about the difference in the claws.
Well, they're a harder shell than either. I think the easiest shell to work with your apparatus, because it comes with, like your cracker and then your tiny fork, so you can kind of get into the shell and pull it apart, no matter which kind of crab you have.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to work. Snow crab is the sweetest. It's also the easiest to work with. The king crab, you have to watch, because there are some pointy ends
spines.
Spines on the shell.
Yep.
So you have to watch. And the more that they can crack that and get that prepared for you, the better.
Yep.
At any restaurant, we had an excellent time with it up there at Glacier Brew House in Alaska.
We did.
And here, you just have to watch and get that. But this is an even harder outer shell. And the meat is just, it is chunks of flaky and tender meat.
Yeah. The most restaurants, when you order stone crab, will crack it for you because they'll actually put it on a cutting board and give it a whack with a mallet, and it will be served to you already cracked, so you can get into it a little easier, because these have probably the thickest shell of the three types of crab that we're talking about. And this is the typical serving suggestion or accompaniment.
You can get them with drawn butter and lemon.
You can.
But typically, when we've seen them on the menu, we've seen them with like a stone ground mustard aioli.
Yes, it's usually a creamy mustard sauce of some kind. And it's usually a very lightly mustardy flavor. They don't overdo it with the tartness from the mustard.
Yeah.
But that is very common to see with stone crab.
This one was a Dijon, and it was smooth.
Yes.
It was not the stone ground type of mustard mixed in. It was creamy. It had a hint of lemon, and it just, it picked up on the flaky and tender and briny flavor of that stone crab.
Yeah, what I like about stone crab is when it's cracked properly, you basically get this one big nugget of meat right there in the knuckle.
Mm-hmm.
And you can bite and pull and get everything out in one shot. These extra large claws had chunks of meat in them, roughly the same size as the scallop that we had. So half dollar size, you know, about a quarter to a half inch thick. I mean, and just juicy and perfectly cooked.
Oh, so the season doesn't last long.
No.
And I do want to have them again.
Yeah, so you kind of have to get on it. Down here in Florida, if you don't get on it in the latter part of October, you're probably out of luck by mid to late November. Because it's pretty popular. You can find some places that might get them and freeze it. But for the fresh stuff, get while the getting's good.
Yeah. So would you get this platter again?
I would either get this platter if they were offering it, or I would go with maybe their fishtail tower, which their tower has cocktail shrimp, king crab, Gulf oysters, local clams, one and a quarter pound lobster. So you get the whole lobster, both claws and tail, chilled snow crab, jumbo lump crab. And then that includes, you know, your various dipping sauces. So that's a great way to go. These types of platters are kind of the seafood version of a charcuterie, because you're getting a little bit of everything. You're not committing to just one type of fish cooked in one particular way. And I like to be able to sample around a little bit. Plus, you know, you get to eat and talk, and, you know, you're talking while you're, you know, getting the meat out of the claws.
It's an experience.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's something I grew up with and you grew up with.
Yeah.
So it's, for me, it's just a lot of fun. I know there are some people that don't want to work that hard for their meal.
Right, and if you don't, there are lots of things on the menu that you can get where you don't have to work that hard. I mean, I'm interested to go back and try the appetizer that is the mini lobster rolls, where you get the hot and the cold.
Yeah, just basically lobster roll sliders.
Yeah, and I want to see how they compare to Mobs to Lobster or other places. How do they compare to DJ's Clam Shack in Key West?
Sure.
You know? I mean, there are several small plates that you can get.
They do a marinated Portuguese octopus served over arugula chimichurri, sounds amazing. I know some people aren't quite that daring to go for the tentacle. I am. I love good octopus. They also do, you know, prepared seafood platters as well. So they'll do broiled, blackened, or fried, you know, the New Bedford scallops, their fish and chips, they do a New England basket with cod, whole belly clams, and scallops. They also have pasta dishes. They do some other items, you know, their signature stuff like a bourbon salmon or a miso marinated chili and sea bass. So
yeah,
you can't lose going the seafood route, but they do also have some stuff if you're looking for some turf to go with your surf.
Yeah. So there's a filet Oscar, so you can kind of have your steak fix as well.
That's a little surf and turf all in one shot.
Yeah. There's a ribeye steak. I mean, you can get a filet mignon and a lobster tail. And then there's lobster and crab on its own. You know, you could get a snow crab dinner or a king crab dinner or just the stone crabs if you prefer one over the other, or if you just wanted a specific kind of lobster roll, hot or cold, or if you just wanted the lobster tails.
Yeah. Now, a lot of their offerings here are market priced, so prices will vary from day to day. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to eat here, you, of course, want to check with your server first.
Depends on the weight and what's in the mix.
Exactly. What's available. It's going to be seasonal. Mm-hmm. And what I also like is this place is has a full-service bar for cocktails, beer, and wine. Mm-hmm. They have... I mean, it's half of a what used to be just the seafood market, but the dining area is a little more upscale. It's not like a white tablecloth dining experience per se, but it has a really nice feel. They did a great job with it. And then, of course, there's a nice outside seating area.
Yeah, when the weather is nice.
Like it's starting to get now.
Like it's starting to get now in our 2 days of fall. I did it again. So, but seriously, you can have a really nice outside experience if the weather is good, like it has been lately, or you can go inside. And I really like how they capture the colors of the sea. And I love the kind of backsplash of their bar.
Yeah.
And it's a very laid back and relaxed, but you can make a nice evening of it.
Yes.
So
100%. And, you know, this is a great place. If you have dinner here, you are just walking distance to a number of other locations, regardless of what you like, that will be a great way for you to cap off the rest of your night with maybe a tasty beverage.
A tasty beverage from a place we went the last week or last time we did a live race. Which was Duval Street.
Duval Street in Cape Coral.
Yeah, where we had the martini and just awesome vibe.
And you're also walking distance from places like the brand new location for...
Big Storm Brewing.
Big Storm Brewing. Yeah. Our friends over at Nevermind Awesome Bar and Eatery.
Perfect.
And another place that we're about to talk to you about in just a second. But first... We want to say thank you to all of our patrons who have been helping keep the lights on here at the Running Drink Podcast.
2020 has been a challenge for lots of people. We're a travel podcast for back-of-the-pack runners like us.
And we can't travel.
And
Not really.
Kind of. We can try locally.
Well, not like we have been. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
We've had to modify some things.
And you all have... approached us in our live videos. You have come to us at races in the past, at the beginning of 2020, for example, and said, you know, we love what you do and we want to support you long term and we want to see more. We want to see behind the scenes. We want to see and get to know you. How can we do it? So we introduced a Patreon program.
Yeah. If you go over to patreon.com/runeatdrinkpodcast, we've created three different levels of monthly support for $2, $5, or $10. And each one of those includes certain special perks just for you. And, you know, we started this at the behest of our very first patron, James Gray. He just messaged me tonight to let me know about a potential race up in Atlanta in February. So I'm going to keep an eye out for that. Mm. And of course, I do want to say a special thank you to Wendell, who joined us during the race that we just talked about. Mm. And he is the most recent patron to switch to the $10 a month level.
Yes.
And become an insider. And Wendell, you should have your thank you package. I think he said that it arrived.
Yes. Yeah. And he said that it arrived. His name is also on our patron wall at runnydrink.net.
It is.
So.
And one of our other patrons, we mentioned it before, Meg is going to be, or has contributed some content for us. And we're going to be sharing that with you later in the week. So it's not only that you guys are supporting us, you're helping build the Runcation Nation as a community. And we cannot thank you enough. But here's the cool thing. Whether you are doing it on Patreon or if you are in the Podbean app, when Podbean is our host for our podcast.
Yes.
But
great host.
We're available just about everywhere podcasts are served. But if you're in the Podbean ecosystem, you can become a patron right there. Just go to our podcast page. Look up at the top. There's going to be a button that says become a patron. Those $2, $5, and $10 levels are all
same
right there. exactly the same.
Yeah.
So regardless of how you want to do it, you could help support the show. You'll have our undying thanks.
Yeah.
And we cannot wait to welcome you into the small but growing community of Runcation Nation patrons.
Yes.
And we cannot thank you guys enough for supporting the show.
Last week, we celebrated National American Beer Day.
We did. In fact, we did a Facebook and Instagram Live where we did a tasting, a sampling, if you will, of some classic American beers. We did Budweiser. We did Yingling.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah.
And there was one more in that mix. What was the fourth
Anheuser-Busch.
One? We did Budweiser.
Budweiser, PBR. You said. Oh, you said that.
Sam Adams was the other.
That's the one you
did. So we did those four.
Yes.
And it was a really interesting thing because I don't know that I could tell you the last time I had a PBR.
And PBR, and that was really good.
And it turned out you liked that one more than you thought you would.
Yeah.
But we were out and about. We finished up over at
the Fishtail Grill.
Fishtail Grill. And we're like, you know, let's head over to number three, Craft Brews. We, you know, wanted to see that they've done some renovation in there since the pandemic, and we wanted to see, you know, how it's turned out.
They leveraged the time very well.
They did. They did a great job, and they have been a fantastic supporter of the show. They're not a sponsor, but they've been supporters of the show.
They've even given us beers for some lives in the past.
And said, hey, try these out. Yeah. And we mentioned to them that, and we went over there and we mentioned to them, we said, hey, you know what? We did this, put together for us a 6-pack of your choosing of American craft beers. And we didn't give them any
guidance,
no guidelines. Like, I want this style or that. Just
has to be from this area, not that.
Yeah.
We did not do that.
No. And they are so great because the place is very cool. Like, it's always been a combination of a tap room and package store, and the eclectic mix of beers that they get in. It's the father and two sons that own it and operate it. Mm-hmm. They plus their staff, and they do just an amazing job at curating just an amazing collection of beer.
Yeah.
From all over the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And
really all over the world. They have beers from all over.
And that allows us, no matter what style you like, you can walk in here if you're local and you can find something for you.
You can. And these guys have, you know, they've rolled with the punches and adapted and did everything they needed to do to stay open and stay, you know, doing what they needed to be doing to be able to to bounce back, you
curbside
know.
Curbside pickup with a bounty hunter helmet, if you will.
He wore a full face mask. It just happened to be Boba Fett's, but he had a face mask when he delivered our beer to us.
Mm.
It was great. And they didn't disappoint. So they put together this 6-pack.
Yeah.
And we just recorded the entire beer tasting of this 6-pack last night.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to share a couple of our selections with you here. And the other four are going to be available for our patrons.
The entire tasting.
Yeah, the entire tasting. And that'll be a video that will be available for, is that going to be for all patrons or for the insiders?
Oh, we're talking about it right now. What should we do?
That's up to you.
Ooh, I say come one, come all.
Okay, all patrons are going to get this one. So check that out. Become a patron, even at the $2 level, and you'll be able to see this whole tasting. But let's talk about the two that we're going to share tonight.
That way, all of them get a little idea of what patrons get.
Yeah.
At the upper levels. So,
tell me about your beer.
Okay. So, the beer that I'm sharing from our collection is the Sierra Nevada Dankful IPA. Dankful. See, it's November now, right? We're recapping our Halloween race, but it is November.
Yes.
As we publish this. And what I really love about this month in particular is sometimes we get a couple of days of fall weather in Florida, but also we get to, it reminds us what we're thankful for. Gives us a chance to emphasize that and to share that. And this beer in particular does good work for the community.
Oh, you're going very serious, very heartfelt.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Just, I'm feeling all the feelings.
Okay.
So I just like that. And it is the Sierra Nevada Dankful IPA, a generously hoppy IPA. And their website, Sierra Nevada's website, and Sierra Nevada has tap rooms throughout the United States, and you can get it pretty readily in different parts of the country. So A Better Tomorrow is why we brew Dankful, a resinous West Coast IPA that supports nonprofits standing up for social equality, economic well-being, and environmental protection. Through this philanthropic pledge, we work with nonprofit partners dedicated to moving our communities forward. We're thankful for that.
I see what they did there.
Yeah.
And this has, in terms of malts, they use two-row pale malts, caramelized malts, and rye. For hops, they're using a combination of Columbus, Chinook, Mosaic. I can't even pronounce that.
Econaut?
Econaut.
Well, I don't know. We're sorry.
Nelson Sauvin, Zappa, and Idaho 7, and they use an ale yeast in the brewing process.
It's 7.4% ABV, 55 bitterness units, and I really didn't think it was all that bitter.
No, we have actually featured a beer on the show that actually, and I remembered it when I said it last night, we've actually gone over 100 on the IBU scale, but the one that I remembered when we were talking about this, when we were recording, was one made by Millennial Brewing here locally called Clever Girl.
Clever Girl.
And it's 99 IBU. And I think that, I mean, yeah, I think that one was probably more bitter than this. Mm-hmm. But we had last night one of the beers that we featured, we actually said, even though it's technically, according to the IBUs, less bitter, it came off as being more bitter.
Yeah. I think, but this was not as piney as I expected it to be.
No, I mean, when I hear West Coast IPA and terms like dank, which is in the name, and resinous, those are the things that start making me cringe usually. I'm not a fan of West Coast IPAs. I'm on record saying that on every format we record.
New England IPAs are more your jam.
They are. And if I'm going for an IPA.
And citrus.
Citrusy IPAs, yeah. This, but when you say resinous and dank, I start thinking that this is going to be like licking a can of Pine Sol.
But it wasn't.
Surprisingly not.
It was very good. It was like a medium carbonation, as I recall.
A medium carbonation, medium body. Like a golden yellow
color.
Golden
color, yeah.
You know, nice color on it.
Yeah.
And surprisingly drinkable for something at topping 7% alcohol by volume and allegedly on the upper end of the bitterness scale.
Yeah, allegedly, because I didn't get a whole lot of really bitterness that would make my face curl.
No, this was a little bit of bitterness on the back of the tongue and, like you said, the roof of the mouth.
The roof of the mouth. Yeah.
And I thought it was very pleasant. And we were talking about food pairings with this and what we would like with it. I think this is a great burger beer, like you said.
Yes.
I would not drink this one while I'm grilling the burgers.
Like you said, that would be the perfect time when you're grilling the burgers to have the PBR.
Something the much American lighter beer. In body, yeah.
And then this with the meal proper.
Yeah, this one, as I think, would be a little bit more filling.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think you're going to have too many of these back-to-back.
No, not at 7.4.
Right, because you get up there in the alcohol by volume at 7.4.
Yeah, next thing you know, you'll be on the floor.
Right. But it would be a beer that could stand up to a lot of flavors, yes. strong burger flavors.
Yeah, especially if you're doing something with like a strong cheese, like maybe you're doing a blue cheese burger.
Bacon.
Yeah, you're reading my mind.
Yeah, so I liked it. I like that it does good for the community, good in the community, and that would be just my share from our beer chat.
I think, yeah, I can't agree with you more. Well, you went all serious and
you have
and
a fun
heartfelt.
One. You have a fun one.
I'm going to tell a fart joke.
Okay.
Literally, because the beer that I'm going to talk about is one called Sour Me Unicorn Farts by Dewclaw Brewing. And I can't make that up. This is a
legit
glittered sour ale. And I'm going to read their description from Dewclaw's website here. Sour Me Unicorn Farts. This glittered sour ale is brewed with fruity cereal, a trio of real fruits, and finished with a sprinkle of a natural mineral-based edible glitter, a collaboration between Dewclaw Brewing Company and Diablo Donuts.
Yeah!
So you're talking about a golden straw yellow color with actual visible glitter floating in the liquid. There's no other way to describe it. It is glittery and pretty to look at. It's 5.5% ABV, 10 IBU. And I am not one who normally goes for sours. Oh, I'm sorry. Before I get into that, oh, yeah. They use tetanang hops. They use Pilsner light wheat and torrefied wheat grains. And I'm not one normally for sours, like I said.
Right. I think this surprised you.
This did surprise me.
Yeah.
Now, a couple of years ago is when the height of these glittered beers came into being. The edible glitter is really a gimmick. And, you know, a lot of people in the craft beer community really poo-pooed this trend. I get it.
I see what you did there.
It's that was unintentional, but incredibly apropos. But the trend was there for a while. Everything was getting glitter, just like everything for the longest time was getting, they were doing a milkshake version of an IPA or a milkshake this, or using milk sugar in the brewing process. So these glittered ales came and went, but some of them stuck around. Unicorn Farts is a limited release, but they actually pulled off a really good tasting beer. They use the fruity cereal, so it's, you know, something like a Fruity Pebbles or like a
Fruit Loops something
type of cereal. They're also using real fruit in the mix, and you're getting this fruity flavor, like a fruit cocktail kind of thing going on, with just a hint of tartness at the end. That's not, making you pucker. It's not so tart that it's blowing out your taste buds. And on top of that, it's kind of cool to look at. And of course, it's got a funny can and
I love it
and all that. It's got a unicorn with a rainbow coming out of its butt on the front of the can and all that. You know, it's not one you could look cool in a bar drinking, for sure. But it is a lot of fun nonetheless.
I'd have it again.
It was a very approachable sour beer. Mm-hmm. I would do a whole pint again, ditto. No problem. And I was really very surprised. I also like the fact that they partnered with a local donut shop, Diablo Donuts. Mm-hmm. We've had a local brewery here, like 8 Foot Brewing, partnered with Divine Donuts over in Fort Myers, and they did a donut beer as well.
I like partnerships that show off different businesses in the community.
Exactly. And feature some of their ingredients, which I just think is really cool. Mm-hmm. And the reason this is called Unicorn Farts, they have a Unicorn Farts donut that is made with the fruit cereal.
Oh.
Over at Diablo Donuts.
Oh, it's like the mini bar donuts up in Jacksonville.
Very similar to mini bar donuts. And up there, they were doing cereal milk lattes to go with their cereal encrusted donuts. It was really, very cool.
Mm-hmm. And they're right next door to, you know, connecting these two beers. Mm-hmm. They're right next door to Southern Swells. And the people there at Southern Swells in Jacksonville, they got us into IPAs.
They certainly opened us up to them. We were a lot more closed off to IPAs, generally speaking, prior to doing that interview.
So, I mean, I think because of that interview and that conversation, the Sierra Nevada, we knew more about it and we could appreciate the flavors more. And then this Sour Meat Unicorn Farts, just it's connected to some great childhood memories.
Yeah.
And great partnerships in the community. So I think both of these are win-win shares from our beer chat.
Absolutely. So if you like these and you want to hear some of the other beers that we reviewed, don't forget to check out our Patreon, patreon.com/runnydrinkpodcast, or over on Podbean. Become a patron there. Any level will get you this video. And we're showing off the beers right from our couch.
Yeah.
And grab a, you know, maybe hit your local package store, pick these up, and then join in the fun with us and see if our assessment matches yours.
Because Duclaw, that's widely available, much like the Sierra Nevada.
Yeah, we did get beers that are distributed pretty widely across the U.S. So check out your favorite package store, Total Wine, ABC, some of your mom and pops that are willing to order craft beers and check some of these out. I think that you're going to be very, very happy.
Good stuff.
So that is going to do it for this week's episode.
Oh,
you guys are awesome for sticking with us. We cannot thank you enough.
We did it again.
Next week, we're going to be running, eating, and drinking yet again.
And who knows what is in store. So we just hope that you have a great week and stay tuned for more awesome content. There are lots of ways you can support the show this week. We would really love it if you could head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and review.
Just doing that, spend a couple of minutes, give us a rating and review. We like to think we're worth 5 stars. We hope you do too. That really helps support the show in that it helps us get seen by people searching for podcasts about running, food, and drink.
And of course, you can become a patron of the show, patreon.com/runnydrinkpodcast, or patron.podbean.com/runnydrinkpodcast.
Or if you're at Podbean, just click that button. So it says become a
nice
patron.
Nice and easy.
Either way.
Yeah.
So thank you for joining us on your long run, commute to work, around the house, or wherever you might be.
I'm your host, Amy.
And I'm your co-host, Dana.
Stay safe and well, and we will talk to you really soon.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Run, Eat, Drink podcast. We're having another great year thanks to your support. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We're at Run, Eat, Drink podcast. And on Twitter, we're Run, Eat, Drink pod. You can also give us a call at 941-677-2733 or send us an email at info@runeatdrink.net. Visit our website at runeatdrink.net and click on the subscribe link so you don't miss a minute. Find out how you can support the show at patreon.com/runeatdrinkpodcast. Accomplish, explore, and indulge right along with us. We'll talk to you next time.